Good to be here tonight. You take your Bibles to First Timothy chapter number 1. First Timothy chapter number 1. I am thankful tonight to be saved by His grace. To be saved by Him, not of the world, but by Him, through Him. I'm thankful tonight that it always thrills my heart when my kids sing with me. At church, I go back into my mind when I used to stand and sing with my dad and my mom when I was a kid. They're singing a new song now over on the other side. I do long to go to see them. But I go long to see the one that saved them, the one that saved me, Brother Perry. I do want to see Mom and Daddy, but I want to see the Father. I want to see Jesus over on the other side. But I'm thankful that Alex still, he turned on a New Home CD the other day, and he sung every song in there. So I know he can sing. I know he knows more than one song. So he kind of tells off on himself. And he sings every song that Mom and them sang on the... Now, when I say Mom and them, that's the Williams family. That's Mom and them. That's kind of a redneck term. But he sings every song on that, and Carter knows them too. But I am thankful that they do have maybe... Our neighbor, he was beating on me. He's a drummer. He's the AC/DC drummer, rock and roller. That's who our neighbor is. That's just who he is. And I said, we ought to go over and ask him to go to church. I said, well, I don't know if he'd go or not. He said, well, we should just go over there and ask him. When we left, he was really wearing down on the rock and roll song, so we didn't interrupt him, so we just come on to church. But I believe there is a seed that's been planted there in his heart. So you pray. I want you to pray for my neighbor, that we could be a light to him, and that he could see something in us that's different of the world. And so you, I do. His name is Jay, and that's our neighbor that lives beside us. And I do have a burden to see him get saved. And so God moved somebody over there beside us, and God said, you need to be a light to him. Amen. And I believe that's what we ought to do, is try to be our best to be a light unto the lost in their world. So enough of that. That's just me rattling and rumbling. But you take your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter number 1. We just want to read verses 12 through verses 17, and we'll not hold you too long tonight. I promise I'll not hold you too long tonight. This is just what's on our heart. It's what came to our heart today as we was listening. We was reading just for a moment. So you pray for us tonight that we would deliver that God have us to deliver. And I am thankful to be saved tonight. I am thankful He saves those sinners. I really am. You said, well, Brother Brian, you was in church all your life. Yeah, I was. I was still just as lost as anybody else was ever lost. I was probably more in deep, Brother Perry, than anybody else was. I was underneath the gospel and was still going to miss heaven because of religion. I'm thankful tonight that God, He come by my way and showed me that I got a thought this morning, Brother Perry, I was going to use this later. I'll just go ahead and sound a good ahead of myself. I got a thought this morning how that you said that God, He went over to the supermarket. And I got a thought, Brother Joe, that the Holy Ghost that night went down the sin supermarket down there, and the Holy Ghost walked down the aisle and saw the hypocrite aisle. He went down the aisle and he saw me, put me in the car, and said, I can do something with this one. I hear that nobody else make out, do nothing with him, but I'll take this one off the hypocrite aisle, and I'll take him, and I'll save him. And when he goes to church, he'll be different. When he goes to church, it'll be worth something to him then. I'm saying tonight that when God comes in and does a work that you know that God done it, and I say that I'm concerned about folks that come and say they get saved, don't ever come back to church. I'm concerned about folks that don't ever pray. I'm concerned about folks that don't ever read their Bible. I'm concerned about folks. Well, Brother Brian, you acting like you're perfect. I say this, I'm far from perfect tonight. And you'll see in the Scripture that you'll see that Paul even thought that he wasn't perfect. And Paul thought he was nothing, and that's what I am tonight. I'm just nothing. I stand before you as a man of flesh and bone, flesh and blood. But I want to just read this tonight. I promise it'll be short. You won't have to worry about missing your show tonight. If you didn't record it, you don't have to worry about it. You can go back home, watch your TV when we get out. But you stand with us if you will. We want to read verse 12 through 17. And this is Paul later on in his life. Brother Joe, he's up in years, and he's writing to a little young preacher here, and he's trying to encourage Timothy, and he's just telling what helps Timothy here is Paul's telling him what the Lord done for him. And so if you want to help somebody along life's way, you tell somebody what the Lord done for you. And so Paul said to Timothy, he said, I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. who was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundantly with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus, now look, notice what Paul says to Timothy, he said, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit for this cause I have obtained mercy, that in me first, notice what he says here, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him life everlasting. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honored and glory forever. Amen. I just want to note, you can be seated, I just want to note a couple of things that Paul writes to young Timothy here. And Brother Joe, I don't know if Timothy is discouraged. I don't know if Timothy is kind of going through the mully grubs. I don't know what Timothy's facing here. But I just feel like the Lord has led Paul to write this to Timothy to encourage his heart to keep on keeping on. And you'll find over there in the on over into the letters of Timothy, how he encouraged, he said it is a good work and you should make full proof of thy ministry. And he's just trying to encourage Timothy. And he says that, I just thank Christ Jesus in verse 12 that he has enabled me, or he has allowed me to be, saved. Apostle, I'm just thankful tonight that he counted me worthy enough, that he counted me to come in and give me the chance, to give me the opportunity just to come to know him in the free pardon of sin, because he didn't have to do that, because I've taught in Sunday school over in Acts that Paul came, or saw at the time had came, Brother Joe, he had made such rough places of the church and stuff, and then the Bible said he made havoc upon the church, and he came and tried to destroy what God was trying to do. In the book of Acts, how Saul came and tried to destroy that God was doing him. He said, I'm just amazed that God in His grace and His infinite love and wisdom can come down and offer me a chance to be saved, because I look at what I've done, but He's not looking at what I've done. He's looking at what He done, because He did it on Calvary, amen. But when you come to Christ, you may look what you done, and the devil may show you what you've done. But I'm saying this, if we can get our face and our eyes turned to Him, and we can look at what He done for us, and we can have and be closer to God, because we won't be looking at ourselves, but we're looking at Him. Amen. Paul said, I'm thankful He has enabled me, or He has given me the opportunity. He has given me the opportunity to be saved. And he said, I just want to tell you, Timothy. He said, hey, if you look at me, you're looking at somebody that's come in and I was a blasphemer in 13. He said, I was a persecutor. I was injurious to the church. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Paul said, in the last verse we read, Paul said, I was ignorant. He said, but I knew an immortal God. I was ignorant, but I knew the invisible God that came down by the Holy Ghost of God and showed me that I was lost on the road to Damascus and showed me that I was, that he said, well, he said, Paul, how long will you kick against the pricks? He said, well, what would you have me to do, Lord? He said, I want you to go over there and find Cornelius over there. You find that, because he's waiting on you. He's been praying for you. Finally, Paul said, I'm just going to give in. I realize that, God, you can save me from what I've done. The devil will tell us, Joe, how bad we've been and how many things we've done wrong. Even after we get saved, but the devil still comes and wants to remind us of what we've done, of our sins that we've committed. I'm saying, I'm thankful I'm the, I might be the chief of sinners, but I know the chief shepherd. I might be the chief sinner tonight, Brother Joe. I'm the least among many here tonight, but I'm thankful tonight that God is able to save me unto the uttermost. Amen.
Amen.
I can't preach this deep enough, I know that. But I know this, I don't know a whole lot. But I know this boy's saved, I know that. I can't do math good. I don't know much about the history of the world. I don't know much about the Bible as it should, but I know one thing. I passed from death to life because He saved me. He made the difference. I didn't have nothing to do with it. I just had to have faith in Him. All I had to do is confess with my mouth and believe my heart. He said that thou shalt be saved. That was really what I had to do, but He done the rest of it. Brother, He come in and moved into my life. I'm thankful that Paul said, I am thankful that He gave me the opportunity to be saved. Amen. I think back when I got saved, and I realized that, and I know y'all get tired of hearing this, but I've thought of it many times, and how that, Brother Joe, we was practicing basketball at Skyline. I went to school at Skyline. We lived at Faculty. It was a long drive. We went to church at Stevens. It was even a longer drive from the house. And Brother Joe, I showed up late. I didn't get to play the piano that night. I didn't have anything to do with the service, but I sat down about on the third pew back there, about the time that the preacher started preaching. I don't know what he preached about. I have no idea in the world. It was David Beck holding revival. I don't know what. I have no idea what he preached about. But though something had happened in my life before, the Holy Ghost of God started working on my heart and showed me that I was lost and didn't know him. I was late to the service, but the Holy Ghost was already there. He wasn't late, he was already there working. It just amazes me how the Holy Ghost can come down from heaven and come down and start dealing with somebody and give you the opportunity to be saved, and something happened like that. How could you forget something like that happened to your life? Amen. If you're saved, you'll be thankful that God enabled you to be saved. If you're saved tonight, you'll be thankful that God gave you the opportunity to be saved. Especially if you turn it down more than one time. If you turned away the convicted Holy Ghost of God, and you turned away and turned away, and he still saved you, you should be a super duper thankful tonight that God gave you the opportunity to be saved. Amen.
Amen.
Paul said, "I hurt the church." Oh, he said, "But when God saved me, He helped me." He said, I was a blasphemer against the church. He said, well, when I believed on His name, I was changed forever. When I was injured to the church, when I was trying to hurt the church, the Lord came and healed me. When I obtained mercy not because of my ignorance, but because of His, but because of His infinite love toward us, because of His unmeasurable grace and unmeasurable faith toward us, His love toward us. He said, I obtained mercy because His mercy endured forever tonight. Amen. Verse 14, and the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant. Now I use Ethan's word there, super duper, but exceedingly abundant, that's what that means. I mean, it's more than enough tonight. It's something that exceeds what we can imagine tonight. He said that His grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. You'll not be saved tonight. You'll not be saved tonight if you. I hope everybody in the building is saved, but somebody might be listening to me on the internet or whatever. But you'll not be saved tonight if the grace of God don't shed His light upon your heart.
Amen.
You'll not ever be saved unless the Holy Ghost comes and deals with you and shows you that you're lost. This is a faithful saying.
Amen.
And worthy of all acceptation. That I want you to notice this, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. But Joe, He didn't come in. When he was born of a virgin, but Joe, His sole purpose when he started walking and started preaching, His sole purpose was that sinners would be saved.
Amen.
The church as a whole's got away from that.
You're right.
This ain't popular preaching, but we got away from the reason that we are a church.
Right.
Christ came that all would come to repentance.
Right,
well, Joe, He didn't come that to make us rich.
No.
He didn't come to fill up. I like what you said this morning. He didn't come that you might be popular. He didn't come that we might be lifted up. He said, "But if I be lifted up, He said, I draw them into me." But His sole purpose today, our sole purpose today should be what His was when He was on earth, that sinners should come to repentance. Amen.
Well.
I've heard Brother Joel say this a lot. He said that, and I'm losing my voice, and y'all get lucky tonight that I ain't going to preach for long. Preaching and singing is different. I can sing all day. When I start preaching, my voice will go sometimes. But Brother Doyle, he'd say, the saints, if they ain't using the altar at home, they use the altar at church, we can't expect sinners to be saved. And I'm going to close here in just a minute, but I want to say that Christ came for one reason. And one reason only, Brother Joe, that souls could be saved. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And I'm saying this, when we were born into sin, we were lost. We were without hope. We were without, we had nothing. We had, Brother Jimmy, we had nothing besides the grace of God that shed upon our heart and showed us that we was lost. And Holy Ghost come, showed us, Brother Joel, revealed himself to us and revealed sin to us and showed us what we were and then showed us what we could be through salvation.
Right.
If Christ came that sinners should be saved, we should also be sinners saved. Well, prove that to me. Well, what did Paul say to Timothy? He said, verse 16, I promise I'm almost done. Howbeit, I want to preach this thought just for a minute. I promise I'll let you go. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy. Notice what he said. How that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering for a pattern to them, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him, to life everlasting. What he's saying, what does that mean? Paul said that God chose me out. God chose me out and said that I'm going to make that folks can look at your life and they can see a pattern. They can see a sketch of me. That they can see, what that word pattern means in the Greek, they can see a sketch of Jesus. They can see something that resembles Jesus. That many folks, they would see you, Paul, and you're going to have to live right for folks to see you. And when you go on your job, folks, they're going to have to see us. They need to see a pattern of Jesus Christ on us. Amen. I remember Mama, she could sew like, I mean, she could sew like nobody else. She'd go, and we'd go down there and stand at Hammers, and sometimes Walmart, we'd go back there to the, I was a little boy, I was always in the sewing department growing up, because that's where Mama went. She'd go back there and get them patterns. Brother Joe, she'd say, I need this pattern. She'd take it, and Brother Joe, she would take that pattern back home, she'd look at that, and before too long, she'd have that thing with them, a pattern to address. So what I'm saying, if we'll be the pattern before too long, then it'll turn into something that's useful. Brother Joe, it'll take a pattern of our life, and it'll turn into somebody else that could be useful. If we'll pattern our life besides, live like Jesus did, like Paul did, live like Paul lived, like Jesus wanted him to, we'll see results of our pattern life after Christ.
Amen.
Now, it took some work. It took a long time. Sometimes she'd sit there in that sewing machine. She'd just run that sewing machine. And I'd say, Mom, you all right? She'd say, I'm still working on this, but I'll be done in just a little bit. I'm saying that Christ is still working on us. We're patterned after Him. We're made by His image. We're created by Him in Christ Jesus, a new creature. Brother Joe, He's patterned us after His life, after what He wants us to be. And before too long, if we'll keep living right, we'll see a result of the pattern that we live for Him and by Him and through Him. Paul said, He made me a pattern because Christ knew that when He picked Paul to be the minister, Brother Joe, he was, and write the letter to the church, and write the 2/3 of the New Testament, Brother Joe, He knew that Paul would reach many folks.
Amen.
Let me say this. Brother, that's folks that you'll meet that I'll never meet. Brother Joe, even as close as we live, as the crow flies, me and Brother Joe don't really live that far away. And Brother Junior is, what they say, the crow flies, we don't really live that far away, but you'll meet people that I'll never meet. There'll be folks that see your pattern that may not ever see my pattern. There'll be folks that you'll meet on your job. There'll be folks that you'll see at school. There'll be folks you see at Walmart. There'll be folks that you'll see that I'll never meet face to face, but they need to see something in us that's the pattern of Jesus' life when He lived here. It's easy to get caught up in, well, let's just pattern after this one or that one. I remember, when I first started preaching, I would proud to listen to preachers, and I'd try to do like they did. And I'd try to do that. Daddy preached, and he'd say, bless God, and I'd try to do that. I just can't do that. That ain't my style, but I can't do that. I tried to pattern myself after what he was doing. And I talked to Daddy, I said, I want to preach this way. I want to preach that way. Yeah. He said, you'll have to preach the way Jesus wants you to preach. And I want to relate this to your life. You'll have to live the way Jesus expects us to live. The way that you live your life, because your testimony is much different than my testimony. Brother Wendell's testimony is much different than my testimony.
Come on, brother.
Mine and Brother Perry's is pretty. If anybody had a testimony similar to mine and Perry's is pretty close. But there's still some differences there that we can share with folks and show them and tell them what Christ has done for us. This is all Paul's doing to encourage Timothy. He's just telling him what Christ done for him. And he's saying, I want to pattern my life after Christ. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. He wrote in 18, He said, "This I charge unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before thee, that thou mightest, them mightest war a good warfare." In closing out, we're in a battle tonight. Whether you know it or not, but Joe, we're in a warfare against Satan. He would love more, he'd love more than anything to not ever see anybody saved. He loved Brother Joe more than anything that you not ever share our testimony. Tell somebody what the Lord has done for you. I want to say this. I know, Brother Joe, God can lead us into the places that He wants us to go. Yeah. He's already prepared a place that before we get there, He's already been working. When we get there, we can begin to do and share. That's ever happened to you. I'm saying God's woke me up before and told me to go talk to somebody or go get up and call somebody. And they'd say, "I've been waiting on you to call." I've been impressed to get up sometimes and pray for a certain person, and I've talked to those people later, and they said, "I felt somebody praying for me at that time." I'm saying that's how God works. If we'll just get into the place and pattern our life after Him, we can be sensitive to the Spirit of God. But we have to live right to know when God speaks to us. We have to be in the place that God wants us to be for us to be able to win the battles of life. We'll not win every battle. We'll not win. But are we going to lose some or are we going to win some? But I want to say this. The victory is His tonight. The victory is the Lord's. If we'll trust in Him and pattern our life after what Christ wants us to do, He wants us to be. You know what I could see my neighbor say? He'd been living there for, about 6 or 7 months. I've talked to him about the Lord about 2 or 3 times. I've had many opportunities to talk to him about the Lord. What I'm saying is that's not patterning myself after Christ Jesus, because when Christ was Joe, I realized that we don't have long. And the thought and the mentality that Christ had, He knew, Brother Ted, that He didn't have long. When He walked the face of it, He didn't have long to be here to get His message across. And so I'm saying this tonight. We don't have long to get the message out that folks are lost and down to go to hell. We better witness while we can. We've got loved ones. We've got coworkers we're concerned about, neighbors that we live beside. We better show the pattern of Christ while we can. I said this maybe the last time I preached, but I'll tell you this. There's a man in hell tonight that I should have witnessed to. I worked beside him for 2 years. I rode in the truck with him for 2 years. And I may have talked to him about the Lord about 5 or 6 times, but there was times my heart would beat out of my chest, and he would say, "You need to tell me about the Lord." And I just sit over like an auto law, didn't say nothing. I believe with all my heart I had that man's blood on my hands when I stepped in front of Christ. I believe that. What I'm saying is we need to, when God speaks to us, we need to show enough concern about they are folks that are dying and going to hell. We're not talking about bad things that happen in big cities. We're not talking about things that happen in Birmingham or Huntsville. We're talking about things happening in Jackson County, in Marshall County. There's homicides and murders and stabbings and killings. And there's all different kinds of things that's happening. And we don't ever know if we might be next, or everybody be next, or a coworker might be next. That somebody may face eternity, but they may be looking at us and seeing if we're living right or not. And we might be the only Bible they ever see. We want to pattern our life after Christ tonight. We watch CSI sometimes, and some of them, that's her favorite show, and sometimes them things freak me out, but sometimes they bring in people in there and say, "Look, do you know what they look like?" And they'll do a sketch, they'll have sketch artists come in. And Joe, they start describing that what that person looks like, and before long that sketch artist writes, and he says that, and they said, "That's right." Well, if somebody set us down and they looked at our life and we started explaining how we're living and what we're doing, when that sketch artist, when he got through with Joe, it should resemble Christ. Our life and our testimony should, when they sketch us out, brother, that prayer, they should resemble the darling Son of God, which is Christ Jesus. He should say, "Well, His life resembles his qualities, his attributes, his personality, his attitude should resemble what Christ did and how He lived on this earth." You say, "Everybody, you don't ever get mad." I get mad all the time. You don't ever say nothing out of the way. I say things out of the way. You don't ever get upset. Oh yeah, I get upset. It happens, but I'm saying this. But y'all have to find me a place.
Right.
Somewhere and say, "Lord, I ask you to forgive me for my wrongdoing. Forgive me for what I've done." I'm afraid sometimes, for me speaking, sometimes I wait a little too long.
Yeah.
I hesitate for asking God forgiveness. I'm saying that if we will pattern our life after Christ, because Paul definitely patterned his life after Christ. And Paul was a great man of God. Well, I want to say this to you. I'm closing. Paul's salvation in Christ Jesus is no different than our salvation in Christ Jesus. What Paul had, or who Paul had in his heart, in his life, Brother Joe, is no different than what we have if we've been saved by the grace of God.
Amen.
What are you saying? I'm saying this. That we could be a great soul winner for God if we just pattern our life after Jesus tonight. That's all I got. You stand with us. We'll pray. Brother Stan, you come get a verse of song.